This is the Hoove It or Lose It podcast, hosted by Pastor Andy Hoover.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. I want to share for a few minutes out of the book of Mark, chapter 10. This is a passage that's mirrored for us in the book of Matthew, chapter 19, and also in the book of Luke, chapter 18. And depending on the version of the Bible that you have, maybe called the rich man or the rich young man or the rich young ruler, but they're all the same passage, of course, in the Gospels told from a couple of different, three different perspectives. But allow me to read this for you out of the book of Mark, chapter 10, beginning in verse 17. It says, as he was starting out on a trip, a man came running to Jesus, knelt down and asked, "Good teacher, what should I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked. "Only God is truly good. But as for your question, you know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not testify falsely, do not cheat, honor your father and mother." "Teacher," the man replied in verse 20, "I've obeyed all of these commandments since I was a child." Jesus felt genuine love for this man, and as he looked at him, he said, "You lack only one thing. Go and sell all you have and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." In verse 22, it says, "At this, the man's face fell, and he went sadly away because he had many possessions." You know, as we look at this passage, I want to challenge you to maybe, as we get into this, to answer this question. And here's the question: what is it that makes you a follower of Jesus Christ? I mean, just pause for a minute and think about that question. What is it that makes you a follower of Jesus Christ? I really want you to kind of ponder that answer as we get into this passage. And as you study this passage, you see several things that kind of come to the surface. And the first thing that comes to my mind as I read this passage in the book of Mark, and of course in Matthew and in Luke as well. But as I read this passage in Mark, the first thing that comes to my mind is here's a guy that was of high moral standard, right? I mean, the scripture says that he kept all of the commandments. You know, Jesus kind of rattled off when he asked the question, "What should I do to get eternal life?" He rattles off some of the Ten Commandments, not all of them, but some of them. And this man, you know, immediately says, "You know, Lord, this is how I've lived my life. This is what I've done." So here's a guy of high moral character. You know, the other thing that jumps out to me is that he was rich. I mean, obviously, you know, it says that in the passage, but let's think about this for a minute. You know, why was he rich? Was he rich because his family was rich? Was he rich because he received an inheritance? Was he, you know, was his family big in farming or in animal industry or some industry of the time? You know, and that's why he was rich. Or maybe this. Maybe he was rich because he was smart. Maybe he was good with money. Maybe he understood how to develop networks and develop business and in that time, in that culture and history. And maybe he understood how to leverage relationships. And the reason I think that's significant was because here's not only a guy of high moral character, but here's a guy that, you know, wasn't a slouch. I mean, this isn't just some guy that didn't really have any hope for success or any avenue for success. Here's a guy that had high moral character and had some business, you know, some business acumen, right? You know, he understood how to make money and how to get money. And, you know, he had a plan and he probably found some protection, right? He found some security in his money. But yet, nevertheless, the scripture makes pretty clear that he was restless. He was searching. Mark says that he came running to Jesus. He came running to Jesus. He came kneeling down in front of Jesus, right? You know, even though he had this high moral character and even though he found great success and had money and wealth, he realized that something was missing. You know, the other thing that jumps out to me in this passage is that this guy was, I mean, he was super eager. Not only did he come running to Jesus, the scripture says he knelt down. And then think about this. He asked follow-up questions. I mean, you only ask follow-up questions about something that you're passionate about. You only ask follow-up questions about something that you're really interested in discovering the answer to. I mean, he says, "Jesus, what do I have to do to get eternal life?" And Jesus says, "Well, you know, you have to follow the commandments." And he kind of racks off a few of them, not all of the 10, of course, but he racks off some of them. And the man says, "You know, okay, I've done all of that." You know, here's the thing. At that moment, he could have turned. He could have received that first answer from Jesus that you have to follow the commandments, and he could have turned and said, great, I do that, check, and walked away. But he didn't. And I think that's significant. I really think that's significant because he asked this next level question. He says, well, Lord, I do those things. You know, in essence, what else? What else is there? He persisted. Now, I also think it's interesting as you read the passage, just kind of at a surface level, that he approaches Jesus as Jesus is preparing to leave, as Jesus is preparing for a trip. And, you know, I wonder in my mind if Jesus wasn't just outside the door, or Jesus wasn't already on the road, you know, maybe headed through the center of town, the center of the village, and getting ready to go out on the open road to the next city or the next village or the next town or wherever he was going. And, but it's interesting to me that this rich man didn't track Jesus down in the dead of night, right? You know, he didn't track him down in the secrecy of the dark. He didn't come whispering to Jesus. I mean, this guy was okay with people knowing that he had questions, right? I'm sure there were people around. I mean, Jesus is preparing. He had his entourage there with him, perhaps, or some of his disciples. And, you know, he's headed out, but he doesn't care. He doesn't hide that he has these questions. I mean, here's a guy that had probably most likely followed and learned and been brought up in the rabbinic traditions and teachings of the day. He understood the commandments. I mean, there's no doubt that this guy understood the commandments and had grown up in church. But yet, even with that upbringing, even with this high moral character, the scripture's clear that he felt as if he was missing something. I mean, why else would this man with high moral character and money to boot, why would he still be searching? So let's just pause for a minute here and put ourselves in his shoes. I mean, we read the Bible. You know, I mean, let's just go modern day here. We read the Bible and we attend church and we pray and we invite people to church and we do our best to witness to people and to really tap into what God has for us. But yet, even in the midst of that, even in the midst of doing all of the things that we believe we're supposed to do, why is it that we do all of these things and yet sometimes, if we're honest with ourselves, we still feel like we're lacking as a Christ follower? It's interesting that in verse 19 of this passage, Jesus says, you know, he asks this question, you know, what do I have to do to get eternal life? And this is so interesting that Jesus looks at him in verse 19 and says, but as for your question, you know the commandments. I mean, I love that. It's just so funny. You know, like Jesus knows what we know. I mean, Jesus knew that this man already knew the commandments. He knew this man knew the scripture. He knew that this man understood the expectations of what he was supposed to do with his life. And it's so interesting to me because, you know, I think a lot of times in our lives, we spend all of our time telling God how good we are. You know, we tell God all of the things that we do and, you know, God, hey, I'm trying to pray and, hey, God, I'm trying to be in your word and, hey, God, I'm really trying to reach my friend at work. And, you know, I keep telling God all of these things that we're doing as if God doesn't know, right? You know, as if God is unaware that you're doing these things. I mean, why is it that we tell God things that he already knows? And let me just suggest to you in this moment that perhaps the reason that we tell God all of the things that we're doing for him is because we're trying to defer the attention and move God's attention away from what we know in our heart to be the real issue. I mean, sometimes we tell God all of the great things that we're doing for him because we're hoping somehow we're going to, you know, maybe pull the wool over God's eyes and he's not going to pay attention to the thing we're not doing. That's really what's happening in this passage. I mean, this rich man comes to Jesus and he says, you know, what do I have to do? And Jesus says, you know, you have to do this and this and this. And he says, yes, 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 I'm doing all of those things. But he wasn't willing, he wasn't ready to talk about what he wasn't doing. He wasn't ready to talk about what was still lacking in his life. It's so interesting because this rich man comes to Jesus and he uses the phrase, what must I do? I mean, listen to this, guys. It's as if he comes to Jesus and he does. He comes to Jesus with the false idea to begin with. And see, you and I have to understand that eternal life isn't about doing anything. Eternal life isn't about doing anything. Eternal life is about being. It's not about doing. It's about being. It's about being who God created you to be. It's about being willing to give up the thing in your life that you hold most dear. And so sometimes we, in our Christian lives, we focus all of our energy on the doing. You know, just like this man, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And we miss that God's not calling us to do, God's calling us to be. There's a great passage in the book of Romans, chapter 9, beginning in verse 31. It says, "But the Jews who tried so hard to get right with God by keeping the law never succeeded. Why not? Because they were trying to get right with God by keeping the law and being good instead of by depending on faith. They stumbled over the great rock in their path." And I love that passage because it's not about you and I doing anything. It's about being who God created us to be. And so, you know, at the beginning of this, I asked you the question, you know, what is it that makes you a follower of Jesus Christ? And let me just end this with another question. And here's the question: what is it that you still lack? You know, for the rich man, it was his money, right? You know, he lacked the desire to give up something that he loved. And I think about that in my own life, and I encourage you today to think about that in your life. What is it that you lack? What is it that you're lacking? And perhaps it's something that you're in love with. Perhaps it's something that you hold most dear, and that's the thing that God is calling you to yield to Him. It's about what we're allowing Him to create us to be. It's about realizing the things that we still lack, the things that we hold so dear, and we're willing to give God this, and we're willing to give God that, and all of these other areas of our lives, but yet we hold back this one small area. And so I challenge you with that question. What is that for you? Maybe it's your money. Maybe it's your time. Maybe it's your career. Maybe it's, you know, fill in the blank. It's a lot of different things for a lot of different people. But I believe that what God's calling us to is to yield everything to Him. My prayer for myself is that I would be the kind of Christ follower where everything is His. And that's my prayer for you as well.
Thanks for listening to the Hoove It or Lose It podcast. For more information or resources, visit www.hooveitorloseit.com or on Facebook at Hoove It or Lose It.